You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks alongside Chris, I almost said James. My name is Ryan Chambers. We appreciate you guys for being here with us here this fine evening. It is 11:54 at the time we are recording this, but technically it's 12:54 because we're losing an hour tonight. Dallas Stars put up a fight in the third period after being down 5-1. They do lose by a final score of 5-4 tonight. Mikko Rantanen makes his debut, gets a goal and an assist in the evening. Roope Hintz leaves towards the end of the second period because of a puck going off a stick. We can't seem to get lucky at all in these instances, and that's about the fifth player this season that's happened to when it comes to the Dallas Stars. And apparently Oilers fans are celebrating like they've won the Stanley Cup, and it is what it is. It's a game with a lot of emotion in it tonight, I think, for the Stars. The Stars were not ready to start this game at all here today, Chris. What's your initial thoughts from the game, from Rantanen, anything?
Yeah, well, the initial thought is, man, Rantanen is going to lead this team for a long time. I mean, what a crazy night from that guy. The passes were insane all over the place. He finishes tonight with 5 shots on goal. He opens up a whole nother avenue of attack for the Stars power play with that one-timer that he showcased on his goal. I mean, this changes the top of the Dallas Stars, I mean, in a crazy way. It's ridiculous. So that's the number one takeaway. And then the second one is that it's really exposed tonight how much we miss Miro Heiskanen. Because the big thing to me was Lyubushkin having the worst game he's played since Miro has been out. I mean, it was truly bad. And it was especially against the top players of Edmonton. He gave them... just him. He gave them 2 straight chances that found the way in the back of the net, and it was rough for him. And we really miss Miro against these top skill teams like this. I mean, if you have the pair of Harley Miro here, it feels a whole lot better, I think.
Lots of good things you mentioned there. Let's at least start with the positive, because everyone is already is talking about Rantanen in the chat. Mato saying, I've watched Rantanen play 21:56 time on ice, and I'm 100% sold. That dude is an absolute horse out there, and don't even get me started on his passing. My goodness. Brandon also saying that Rantanen brings the sauce. Lots of Avs fans saying he was nothing without Mac, aka McKinnon. Tonight, he proved that's not true. Zachary also saying he looked great, calm, deliberate, dangerous, just popped into an Oilers live post-game pod for a second. They are celebrating like they just won the cup. So lots of good things to see from Rantanen. And he looked a little off at the beginning of the game, but who wouldn't? Because he's never played with these guys before. He just signed a massive deal. But especially in the third period and as the game went on, you saw the reason why Rantanen is as good as he is, and he doesn't need Nathan McKinnon. He proved that tonight. He gets a goal and an assist. He at least gets 33% of the amount of points that he had with the Carolina Hurricanes in 13 games. He had 6 points with them. He's already a third of the way there in 12 less games. So, I mean, keep that pace up, and he'll break that by Wednesday? Whenever his third game is, you know, whatever. So obviously that's the big takeaway here for me tonight. There were some instances where I was like, ooh, dang, okay. And he obviously showcased that skill. And yes, on the power play, but even 5-on-5, I was really impressed with his game here tonight.
Yeah, the way he manipulates the puck with, like, no room Like, he's able to put the puck exactly where it needs to be just to be out of reach of defenders. And he does the same with passing. He knows exactly how to get it through the pass lane and get it onto other players' tape. It really was insane to see a player like him. And he proved, absolutely, that's a great comment, he can be the number one on a team, and he's going to be the number one in the Stars for the next 8 years.
The other thing I noticed about him tonight, and it wasn't consistently, but I did notice in the third period, there's a 3-on-2 rush for Edmonton. He gets back, he gets a stick on it, and does not allow a pass to get across it, which would have been a grade A high danger scoring chance for the Oilers. So he does play defense as well. Maybe not to the same level that Pete DeBoer probably wants him to get at, but he does here tonight. So that's another good thing to kind of notice from Rantanen. He's not really known for his two-way play, but again, defensively, he can be there when he's needed to be.
Well, and he was bailing the zone pretty early and a lot tonight. So, but for a 100-point player, that's what you do to score 100 points in a year. So I am fine having one guy that does that, especially when normally you'll have a Roope Hintz on that line who's one of the best two-way forwards in the league. And tonight, seeing another puck hit a star player in the face is just – it's ridiculous. I don't know how we can't catch a break. And like, it's like a serious, got to be a thought crossing people's mind to have them put on bubbles or something at this point, because it's crazy. That's like the fifth one, like you said. And this one, it looked really bad. I mean, I don't know. We're going to see, but it looked terrible.
And let's jump right into that. Roope Hintz getting hurt is really rough, considering like, that's supposed to be Rantanen's number one center to play with him, and he didn't even get to play a full game, not even two full periods with him before Hintz exited the game. I'm hoping that they just kept him out because it was a 5-1 game, and they were thinking that there was not really much of a chance the Stars were going to get back, so they're just like, you know what, let's just keep you out and just because there's no point. However, at the same time, you know, if you're Roope, you want to get back in that game and try and get back in the game in terms of like scoring. And that really worries me because Roope Hintz has been injury prone in the past and has missed some significant time in the past. I'm also a little bit thankful for the fact that it wasn't just a straight like tip or anything like that, because getting a stick on it, that does take a good chunk of the speed off of it. So I'm hoping that he will be okay. I don't expect him to play tomorrow. What do you think, Chris? You think he's out for an extended period of time?
No idea. It's so hard to tell. I mean, you saw Mason get hit with that one. He broke his face, literally, and is out for a long time. And then you see Maverick Bork got hit in the face the other day. He's bleeding profusely. He's back the next game. So there's just no way to tell.
He did miss one additional game on top of that.
Oh, wow.
So he missed the rest of the game where he was basically bleeding all over the ice. Then he missed the next one, and then he was back for the preceding one. But regardless,
That one looked worse than Marchment's, and he was easier to recover from. So it's just there's no telling.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get some sort of update. If it's not tonight, I'm sure we'll get one probably tomorrow morning since the Stars do play again tomorrow. I do want to get into something that you also mentioned in the fact that Ilya Lyubushkin did not have a very good game here tonight. And that's saying a whole lot with what I tweeted earlier. I don't know if you saw what I tweeted. Matt Dumba had an excellent game here tonight. I'm not joking when I say this. The best game he's had as a Dallas Star, and that was before he scored the goal. Yes, he gets awarded for his good play tonight, and he just takes a slap shot and bounces off of Emberson and goes into the net. But he was making D play after D play after D play in his own zone, and it was really, really, really good. And I was just like, of course, the Stars are playing one of their worst games, and Dumba is playing really well. So we need both. Like, let's have both. And let's continue it that way. So Lyubushkin, bad. Dumba, good.
Yeah, and same with Bischel, his D partner. They both looked really good tonight. Bischel actually had 6 hits on the night, which is his season high. And he also overtakes Jamie Benn for the team lead in hits. I remind you that Bischel has played less than half as many games as Jamie Benn has. So that's pretty insane.
And that goes to show you that Jamie Benn has lost. I don't want to say he's lost, but he's neglected. that area of his game. He's not really that same player that he was. He's not really a power forward anymore. But he does get a goal here tonight, by the way. We should mention that. Jamie Benn gets a goal. It was a beautiful backhand shot. And that just goes to show you that there is still some skill there in the 34-year-old. And it was a perfect goal at the right time. It put the Oilers on their back heels a little bit. And, you know, again, in a game, one of the few games where I thought we would just be, oh, this is a throwaway game. We have not had many of those this year at all. I can't even think of one that was like super major blow away other than the 4-0 Winnipeg loss way early in the season. I thought this would be the second one this season, and the Stars find a way to get back in this game. And they gave themselves a chance to win.
Yeah, you got to love the fight back. And it started with the power play that has already been fantastic, and with Rantanen on it is just incredible. I mean, the threat that he provides with the one-timer is something the Stars haven't had in forever. I mean, since before Sagan's first surgery, probably. Because, I mean, being able to have that smooth passing going in and out between the Oilers and then having that one-timer ability too, where you don't have to get a slam dunk goal. You can just get it to Rantanen. He's going to have a one-timer that is going to have a high chance of going in. It's nuts. Cause like that Duchesne pass without Rantanen, that's a great pass and it moves the Oilers, but it's probably not even a super high danger scoring chance without Rantanen over there. Cause we don't have a guy that takes one-timers like that. So it just opens up a whole nother thing. And I think the Stars power play can reach even another level when it's been completely on fire recently.
And like you said, everything looked good when they were on the power play or even the 6-on-5 at the end of the game. They gave themselves some chance to score there. So, hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. What I do want to ask you about is the third period, what it's more indicative of. Is the third period more indicative of the Stars being a really good team and just not, you know, not laying down when they probably should have or could have? Or was it more indicative of just the Oilers are, I mean, they were 2-6 going into this game here tonight. Or is it a combination of both? What do you think?
I think the main thing is the Oilers pulled back on the offense because obviously they're up by 4 goals, and that allowed the Stars not to have to worry about like Lyubushkin or CeCe getting barreled over by an Oilers top-tier player. It allowed them to focus on the offensive side of the game, and they made them pay for that. So it proved to me that the Stars offense is fantastic, but when you're playing these top tier contender teams, we need to have Miro back.
And you know, actually, this is a very good point over here. I want to pull up Zachary's comment over here. Nate, we don't normally get beat by speed, though. The Oilers' top guys just have unworldly speed.
Exactly.
And they do, but we have been able to counteract that before, and we saw that in the playoff series last year, in the fact that we have had times when we have shut those guys down, it just wasn't the case.
You keep saying we. It's not we. It's Miro. Miro shut them down. That's what it was. So with Miro not on the ice, we're not able to keep up with that speed. That's 100% what it is.
And then another thing that's scary that happens tonight is Esa Lindell takes a shot off the foot. Or no, excuse me, off the knee. Off the knee, excuse me. And looked like he was going to be going down the tunnel. Exactly. And he was just an absolute warrior, stays on the bench. And afterwards, he looked much, much slower for me, which also worries me still. He did seem to loosen up in the third period, which is something I noticed. He took that shot off the knee in the second. But if he goes down, we are in a deep doo-doo situation.
If any other of our defenders go down, we're in trouble. I mean, but that's true of any team. We've lost two starting defensemen so far this season. So if you lose three, obviously that's bad. That's going to be bad for any hockey team. So I don't think that's something to worry about too much, to be honest. If it happens, that's the only thing to worry about.
True. The only other thing that I wanted to kind of discuss was Ottinger a little bit. Yeah. He has, despite him racking up the wins, it's not really him who's been racking up the wins. It's been his team who's been kind of doing it for him. The Stars, again tonight, they score four goals again. They don't get the win. And he continues to give up several goals and has been not great. And I'm not quite sure what it is, but it felt like every major high-danger scoring chance went in tonight. And he normally at least makes one or two of those. And if he makes one of those, we're going to overtime at this point.
Yeah.
So – And I mean, it could be totally different. It could be 4-1 and we never get a goal going into the third. But still, it's frustrating to see him not be – I mean, he's been average at best lately the last couple of weeks.
I think it's really been more hot and cold than anything. It's like three or four of these last games since the Four Nations, he just hasn't had his stuff is what it really feels like, especially tonight. You can see at the start of the game with that puck that's kind of bouncing around in front of the top of the crease, and he has no idea where it is. Like, when Otter's on his game, he knows where that puck is. So he just seemed really shaky, and he couldn't figure out a way to work through it tonight for whatever reason. And, yeah, you're right. If he makes one of those big saves, it totally changes the complexion of this game here. Especially, I think back to that breakaway chance at the end of the first. If he stops that one, keeps it 2-1 going into the intermission, I think it would feel really different. So, yeah, not his best work. It's hard to blame him a ton because they were all grade A chances. It is true. But if you're talking about Otter being a top five goalie in the league, he's got to stop at least one of those. You got to feel like.
The other thing that I did want to discuss, and it's not necessarily about the game in particular, but it's about the mindset going into this game. I mean, you have to mention the obvious. Logan Stankoven was not in the lineup tonight. And I wonder if that might have had a mental effect on the team. Because as good as Mikko Rantanen is, and I'm sure they're excited to have him on the team. I'm sure they are. But with as high a character a guy as Logan was and how much they paraded around him, the Stars, I wonder if maybe that was just in the back of their mind and they just got to him a little bit early.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Maybe not even just losing Stankoven. It's just the whole thing. I mean, it's a huge parade. The entire hockey world is staring at you. You have all these interviews going on. Sportsnet is all up in your locker room for the first time when normally against the Oilers, they're not even going to pay attention to you. So it's just a lot of distractions here tonight. And I think that's definitely what led to the slower start for the Stars.
Okay, this is not good news. This is straight from Mike Hyka. Pete DeBoer said Ropa Hintz went to the hospital after his facial injury. The hope is it is not serious. That does not give me a lot of good vibes from there. So that's just me.
Yeah, man, that's pretty horrible.
The emotions of the last couple of days have just been astronomical in both ways. Exactly, Monto. Bubbles for all now. That's literally what I tweeted on X. I was just like, everyone, if you are a Dallas Star, is required to wear a bubble on and off the ice to make sure that you don't get a facial injury. That's about all I had here tonight, Chris. Is there anything else we need to mention?
Hope that Rope is okay. That's not a good sign. I mean, I know they're saying that they have optimistic outlook, but anytime a player goes to the hospital, it's not going to be good. So,
random question. Were you surprised to not see DeSmith in the second period? Because I was halfway expecting to see DeSmith in the second.
No, because we've seen Otter come back from situations like that where he's had bad starts to the game and he's been able to rally back around it, and it was only 3 goals. And we have the back-to-back tomorrow, so you want to have a fresh goalie for that too. So I wasn't really surprised.
That was my exact mindset there as well, was just it's just Pete DeBoer being consistent in who he is as a coach. He's consistently done that. Even when a goalie has looked bad, he's given them a chance to fix it, I guess, is it, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
And he didn't really do that.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough tomorrow night. I mean, we know how great we play on the road against Vancouver and how great we play in the West in general. So it's going to be tough to try and scrape a point out of this back-to-back set.
Yeah, and these next this game and the next three are tough. The next two games, one is against the Avs, and I forget who the next one is against. I think it's the Jets, if I remember correctly. So we've got two big games coming up, and if you're going to lose both of those games against the Jets and the Avs, this Vancouver game almost feels like a must-win in terms of looking at it in a four-game sequence. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, biggest winner, biggest loser. Chris, what you got?
Biggest winner, Mikko Rantanen. I mean, the dude's crazy. He showed it tonight. He is the Stars' best player. He's going to be the Stars' best player for the foreseeable future. It's awesome. I love having Mikko Rantanen.
For the first time in Dallas Stars history, number three is getting my biggest winner tonight.
He did have his best game.
He had a great game. He gets rewarded with a goal. Of course, it's not a goal scorer's goal, but who cares?
High skill goal.
High-skilled Matt Dumba. He was really good defensively. I mean, even before he scored the goal, it was just nice to see him get rewarded here tonight because of his good game. It's just unfortunate that they weren't able to get the win here tonight. Biggest loser here tonight, Chris. I feel like you could take this in several different ways to looking at the storylines tonight.
I'll give mine to Otter because he's one of the bigger players. He's a guy that you rely on as the Dallas Stars, and he wasn't able to be a part of this comeback here tonight. He didn't help us enough.
And I'll give mine, since you took my other one, I'll give it to Labushkin. I know he's fighting something. He's got to be the most bruised up defenseman on the back end for the Dallas Stars, but he did not look very good tonight, and he was directly responsible for 2 goals against.
Well, I don't even know if he's bruised up. He's a second or third pair defenseman playing on the top pair. I mean, he's not where he's supposed to be, so he got exposed.
But there have been other games where he's played with Hartley and has been perfectly fine.
He didn't play those games against McDavid and Dreisaitl, though.
That's fair. So we'll have to wait and see how he plays against the Avalanche in particular, and see if he can keep up with Nathan MacKinnon. And I'm sure that'll be a game that he'll be looking at to kind of get retribution for tonight, because he was not good tonight. I'm sure he knows.
Agreed.
Okay. We're going to be back with you guys again tomorrow night. Stars are taking on the Canucks. It's a 9 o'clock start again, I believe. So, and it's going to be, we're losing an hour. So it's going to feel like it's actually like 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah. No. It'll feel like it's eight. Yeah. But we'll it'll be feel exhausted. Like it's 8 o'clock. We'll be lost an hour of sleep. Yes, thanks, clocks.
Exactly. So,
Biggest Loser clocks.
Daylight savings time. Freaking daylight savings time.
I'm happy about that hour though. Disc golf season starts tomorrow, baby.
That is true. That is very true. By the way, good luck to Raven. Raven's second, only behind Gannon Burr down at the Hideaway. So that's it. Sorry, we're nerding out a little bit on you on the disc golf side. Okay. Thank you guys so much for following along with us live. There's even more who are you that are listening afterwards. We appreciate you. If you're on the audio side, leave us a 5-star review wherever that may be. If you're on YouTube, click like and subscribe, and also hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of Starcaster Remarks. StarcasterRemarks.com is the website. StarcasterRemarksShop.com is the merch store. If you are a Who Cares Club member, the WCC, we appreciate you. You can also join if you have not done so either by clicking the link in the description below or in the episode notes. Alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We will catch you guys on the flip side. Thank you guys so much for following along. Have a good evening, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Have a good afternoon, evening, morning, whenever you're listening. I'm tired. Chris, we'll be back. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.